Hey, Potters, welcome to episode 210 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Woo!
Yay! Again, you did your woo and it blew out the mic and the sound. Good job.
I didn't even do it that loudly, man.
It cut out again. It's really funny.
See, I have tech problems even when I don't have tech problems. I got 99 problems and my audio is totally one.
Oh, it totally. 150% is one of them.
But thankfully, cosplay has not been a problem.
Well, good. At least it's a problem for somebody.
Although I do have a rather large problem sitting next to me on my desk as part of my cosplay in proc. I was lazy.
It's all good. You're allowed to be lazy. We interrupt this podcast for a special announcement. Hey, Potters, it's Valerie. Probably wondering what's up. Well, Cospod has something special to share. The AllCon Cosplay Contest is moving online this year. We've been working with the convention to finalize the details, and of course, in Cospod fashion, everything was settled right after we recorded the show. So now I'm putting a pause on it to share the message. For those who don't know, back in March, AllCon was in the swing of their annual event when cities and counties began to steadily shut down large gatherings due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which meant the cosplay contest could not be held. But now we can, online, huzzah. So signups are available now, and the majority of the prizes that we were offering in March will be up for grabs. And that includes the Cricut Explore Air 2 bundle, which is worth over $400. It is a big prize package, and we really want to give it away. Signups are good through June 5th, or for the first 50 entries, whichever comes first, and it's available to anyone within the 48 contiguous United States can enter. We've relaxed the rules so costumes that have won awards can join in, and we have prizes that we want to give away. Please sign up so you can win one of these prizes. Our goal with this contest is to have a safe place for cosplayers to showcase their hard work, help promote AllCon and their fundraising event that's taking place the weekend of July 4th, and of course to give away prizes. Please take these prizes. I would love my storage space back. We'll be holding a live stream of the contest on June 12th at 7 p.m. Central during our normal recording time. You'll definitely want to tune in for that because we will have a digital catwalk. The judges will review each entry and there will be a runway presentation with an MC. Winners will be announced immediately after the runway. And yeah, we encourage everyone to sign up. We would love to see what you've been working on. To learn more, click on the link in the description, check out our website and our social media. We can't wait to see your cosplays. So with that, back to the podcast.
Shall I share the mess?
Share the stuffs and the things, and then I'll go after you.
So I've been working on my corset, which if you guys have been following us for the last couple episodes, you've seen all of my pieces that I have been gradually assembling into said corset. And I have found that when I want to embellish it and put things on it and make sure everything is nice and evenly distributed across the corset, I can't just lay it flat on a table because it is a 3D curved shape, which does not lie down flat since I've stitched all the seams together.
And I see where this is going.
Right now, I only have one dress dummy or a sewing dummy, basically. And right now, it has my Sky Sorceress costume on it, which is very complex and looks very nice, and it makes me feel good. And I did not feel like taking my Sky Sorceress costume off of my dress dummy, off of my my sewing form. What I did to form this corset into a round shape is this heavy.
Uh-oh. Ugh. Big reveal.
You can see the corset is sitting on top of it. There's my corset. It is shiny. I had to take a bundle of fleece and then I wrapped it with a bundle of knit and then I wrapped it in another bundle of knit. I basically took all the spare fabric I had lying around and just basically made it into a giant sushi roll until it was approximately the circumference of my waist.
Not gonna lie.
And this is heavy.
I've done that before on my dress form when I needed a makeshift hoop skirt while I was working on one of my projects. I was like, what could I have around me that I can just kind of shove under the dress, so it kind of mocks the look of a hoop skirt. Oh, I have a bunch of extra fabric and fleece. Let me just do this. It worked.
Because what I'm trying to put on top are a bunch of embellishments that have to curve also to the shape of the corset, which is why I can't lay it flat, because then things just don't match up.
Right.
Yes, it has pink insides, because it that was originally meant for a Bleach costume that never happened, and then I was going to make it into a Kirby Kigurumi, which I have not done yet, but it's also summer, so I can't wear it even if I make it. So there is that. Because what I tried to do with the overlay is I traced all of my pieces out, which I just took two of them. And when you have the pieces with the ends touching, you can see there's a gap in the middle. The pieces aren't flat. And it's because I am curvy. So when originally I traced it out on the newspaper and I just traced it with the points touching, I did not take out that area in the middle because I didn't think I had to. So when I tried to wrap it around the corset, it did not sit evenly. It distorted itself. So I had to throw that out and start over. I was hoping to not show seams on the outside because anime. Well, it turns out I'm going to have to show the seam.
Seams are logical. You just kind of have to do it.
So I had to, I have all my pieces sitting next to me. So I had to cut out the separate pieces, which I will now have to attach together, and it's going to show seams and
Oh, well, whatever. Remember, you're a human being. You're not an anime character. Just roll with it. It's fine. I know.
I was hoping to go with the smooth look, but it's not going to happen. So I'm just going to go with it. So I have been cutting out a lot of foam. I actually had to go out and buy more foam because I was out and the pieces are fairly large. And surprisingly, with everybody and their brother crafting at home, they didn't have very much left.
Shocking.
They had two packages left, and one of them had been ripped open, and it didn't have all its pieces.
Aww.
So I took the one that had stuff to make sure that I had enough foam to do this.
Right.
They didn't have individual sheets. I had to get one of those little 12-pack rainbow things.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of yellow and blue and green and red foam, and now I've been working on the hard part, which are the little embellishments, which you can see are, you know, very, very, very curvy and complicated. And I have to use this tiny little pair of manicure scissors because they're so curvy I can't work normal scissors around the curves very well. So this is what it looks like when it's finally cut out. These are all the little embellishments because I'm blinging it up. In fact, I'm cutting a second set of embellishments because I want it to be more blingy. Yes, that's right. It was not complicated enough. I'm making it more complicated.
Yay.
I'm going to do something that's not in the art book. I'm going to put fringe on the bottom. So I still have to go to Joanne's and get some golden fringe to hang from the bottom. But the nice thing about the foam is that this is the adhesive backed foam. So you can see it's got the nice paper backing on the back. This adhesive is surprisingly strong. Not quite epoxy level strong, but once you put this down, it's actually very hard to pull it back up without ripping the foam. So this way I don't have to worry about adhering it down. I can just peel and stick. So I have my little pile of embellishments I've been cutting. This looks like those little alphabet collections made out of foam that you give to kids in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So I've only got one left to cut out, and then I can start assembling everything.
Cool.
I'm going to paint it first, though.
Mm.
I don't want to paint it after it's assembled, because then I risk getting the spray paint on my nice spandex. So I'm just going to paint all the pieces first, which heaven knows it's warm enough outside now that I can spray paint.
Yeah, you can.
Then I will it. And I did, for those who saw last week, I did cut those 2 inches off of the back. And I have opted to put a zipper in the back. For now. I can always add the ties to it afterward to further cinch it.
Yeah.
But for now, I think the zipper is going to be okay. Plus, it will be a little bit more comfortable.
And it's something that you can easily get yourself into and out to without needing another set of hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've done that
before.
That was what I thought about
is, it's like, you know, I can lace a waistlet up by myself. This one is a little bit closer to a Victorian underbust. those are harder. There's be many, many more ties. So it'd be much harder for me to do it and lace it tightly enough mm-hmm. on my own. So I have a few spare zippers that I've pilfered from other cosplays I've taken apart, and I have a separating zipper. So just about there, just about done. I am very happy. I did a test layout and it looks good. It looks nice.
Good.
So this makes me very happy. I'm making progress.
Yay. Someone's got to make progress because it ain't going to be me.
I don't like having to lug my little faux waist.
Just kind of, okay, onto the table.
That's pretty much what it is. It's like a giant sack of potatoes. But that's the only way I can keep everything round enough to simulate it being on my waist, because I can't really assemble it when it's on me. And I'm too lazy to take it off and put it on my dress form.
I understand that. The few corsets that I've made, it's been, if I've done any type of embellishments, I make sure that my dress form is free so I can cinch it on there and then build on top of it. Because, man, you can't lay those things flat once they're constructed together.
No, and I'm going to have to store this somehow curved.
Have fun with that.
It's probably going to end up in a paper box, but not laying flat in a paper box. It's probably going to end up just upright.
Upright.
And then I'll just have to pad the inside so it doesn't collapse on itself.
Yeah, which you can just do with fabric or, you know, whatever you got laying around.
I can use a roll of pink fleece.
You really could.
So that's my progress for the past couple of weeks. Woo!
Yay! I don't really have any progress to talk about other than, since I have this time, we could talk about all the conventions that are still canceling this year. Which is crazy because the lineup just keeps going and going and going. I'm still checking back and forth about Fan Expo Dallas because it's supposed to be at the end of the month. Allie, you can correct me on this. But apparently they're still on, but I've seen other sources saying that they're off, so I'm not entirely sure. It's kind of weird. Definitely some Canadian expos are going online in July, so more of that's happening. Lots of online stuff. The ones that are sticking it out to like August, September are still technically on, but it seems like it's more and more likely that they're going to be canceling, especially with Dragon Con. The city of Atlanta has issued an edict where they're not sponsoring any public events outdoors for the rest of the year, which means no parade for Dragon Con, which is kind of like a big deal for them.
Can you see doing that parade social distancing?
It would be impossible because I've been in that parade twice, right, and it is just jammed packed. People from literally hundreds of miles away come in just for this parade. It is just wall-to-wall traffic. You cannot get through it. It's amazing, but it's impossible to even try thinking about social distancing with it. So who knows? But oh man. It'll be really curious to see the cons that do go on in the next couple of months, what they're trying to do to prepare and how they keep social distancing? Question mark?
I can just see little tape X's put out on the floors of conventions telling people where they can stand 6 feet apart.
Right. Like with AllCon, they are doing a fundraising event at the beginning of July during the July 4th weekend. And what they're doing is they're enforcing masks on everybody. Everyone has to wear a mask. It's 1/4 of their normal capacity. So they're only selling 1/4 of the tickets they normally would. Their vendor room's getting shrunk down. They're actually closing off the hallways that are really, really tight to prevent people from using them. They're taking a lot of efforts to make sure that, you know, it's a smaller event. It's meant for fundraising. But hey, we're fully aware that this is still going to be a thing. So we need to treat it like it's a thing, which is kind of nice.
Yep. Hopefully everything goes well.
Yeah.
Know that there aren't any major issues. People aren't okay. I may get into a little bit of hot water for saying this, but this is my own personal opinion. This has nothing to do with CosPod. This is just me. I hope that there are not people protesting
right
at the con about the face mask. I understand that people have every right to protest, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't protest, you know, and they should not speak their mind, but when you have protesters gathered in an area like a convention, it's just adding more people, it's adding more bodies, and mm-hmm. it's just making it really hard to socially distance. So even those wearing masks end up getting impacted. So
And honestly, if you're spending the money to go to that convention and they've told you upfront, we're enforcing the mask rule, that's what you got to follow their rules. They're a private entity. If you don't want to follow that rule, then don't go. Ask for a refund, get your butt out. I mean, it's as simple as that. Don't make it bad for everybody else because we're trying to keep everyone safe. Not just you. You may be fine and healthy, but everyone else around you may not be. Gotta be considerate of your fellow humans, yo.
Please.
But yeah, that.
Actually, I could totally see people designing costumes around masks.
Oh yeah, there's been a lot of them on Twitter, just kind of popping up here and there. I've seen. There's one that I want to make for myself is the slime from Dragon Quest. I kind of want to make one of those because it's a cute idea. But some of them are branded. Some of them are just some fun characters. You know, things like that. Oh, who was it? Devo, the band from the '80s. Speaking of the '80s again, they have their own face shields that they put out today that you can buy. And
No.
it's got the Devo red spiral hat and all of that. It's great.
I saw someone at the store today with a Hulk comics mask.
Nice.
It was very cool.
I guess I made one for my mom. It's skulls. It's Halloween skulls. I mean, eh. Not gonna complain.
I'm seeing so much more expression in people's masks now. And yes, Trent, Mortal Kombat was the first thing I thought of too.
Right, that's an easy one. Total, we're gonna have a sea of Mortal Kombat cosplays for the next year because protective face gear for
Or
everyone.
Jason Voorhees.
Yep.
Pretty much like any knights or fighter type cosplays that have full face helmets,
Yeah.
that'll work.
Any horror movie creature
Motorcycle.
from the 80s?
What is it? The anime that has the character with a TV for the head and the one that wears a motorcycle helmet that has little cat ears on it. I don't know
Fudi
the anime that that's from,
Yeah,
but.
FLCL, Fudi Kuti.
Yeah, there will be plenty, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then there'll just be casual cosplays that have themed, like, I'm sure there'll be like Sailor Moon fabrics and all sorts of themed nerdy type things.
It'll be really interesting to see how people dress up in the coming year with face masks in mind.
Yes,
I'm actually
definitely.
very much looking forward to people's creativity on that.
I have half a mind because not to keep going with the whole masks thing, but just briefly, like I've seen so many people who pull the masks down to speak to other people.
Yeah.
I want so much to put a zipper in my mask so that when I need to talk, I can keep the mask on and just unzip the mouth so that you can hear me through the mask and then zip it back up as soon as I'm done talking. That way you still keep the mask on and you still protect everybody else, but that way it solves all the
It
problems.
doesn't really protect though, because once you expose your mouth, you're done. You defeated the
Yes, I know.
purpose.
And theoretically, the mask should be thin enough that you can easily hear the other person through it.
Yeah.
Not everybody's mask is that way.
Defeats the purpose of the
I want my D20 fabric for my mask, and then I want my Zelda themed fabric
There you go.
with like little Hylian crests all over it or something.
I wonder if I still have my stained glass window. I wonder if I still have some remnants left of my Zelda fabric. If I do, maybe I'll make one. I'll whip one up together.
Totally make a mask with it.
There you go. Do some Disney characters.
Yes, Wave Rod, that is certainly a thought. And actually, now that I think about it, speaking of putting small microphones and speakers, stormtroopers everywhere.
Yeah, which is an
That's the way to go.
easy go-to.
Because that way people can totally hear you with the mic system. Motorcycle helmets kind of work the same way.
Right.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Allie's on the same wavelength. All right. Moving on from the face.
On. So today's topic is actually not about face masks. We're going to be talking about how to make gloves. I put together a tutorial of an easy, foolproof method for making gloves for your cosplay that works every single time. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Today, we're going to show you a quick way to make gloves. This is a foolproof method to get gloves that fit great for beginners or if you need a last-minute glove that matches your cosplay. You'll need a piece of paper and a writing tool. Breezer paper is awesome here if you have some. Your fabric, this must be spandex, jersey, or two-way stretch. Other fabrics will not work here. Pins, a lot of them. And of course, your sewing machine and a pair of scissors. So, like you're in grade school, take your non-dominant hand and smack it on the paper. Spread out your fingers wide enough to draw around each one. Don't overstretch in an unnatural or uncomfortable way, but make sure there's enough space between each finger. Draw closely around your hand, and don't worry, this isn't the final pattern. For me, I like to mark my wrist if I need to make a short glove. Once done, go back over your markings and add another 1/4 inch around. This will be your seam allowance. Smooth out your pattern as you go. Any areas that look lumpy or too big, this is your time to adjust. Cut out the pattern. Pin to your fabric. Make sure you have two layers of fabric so you cut out both sides of the glove at once. I like to start with the areas between the fingers to reduce puckering and shifting of the stretch fabric. If you're using freezer paper, iron it onto the fabric at a low heat and then pin it in. Once done, cut out your fabric. Remove the pattern and repin your fabric so it's ready for sewing. I tend to use a lot of pins here. Once your glove looks like pinhead, it's time to sew. There are a few stitches you can use, but I've never had a problem with good old straight stitch. A small zigzag works as well, or if you want to use a serger, you can too. Give yourself a little more wiggle room on the seam allowance to accommodate that stitch. And then slowly work your way around the glove. As you can see around the tips of the fingers and in between, I'm doing one or two stitches, then readjusting my presser foot to make sure the curves are a bit more smooth. When you're done and you've removed the pins, try on the gloves inside out. This is a great time to check and see if you need to make any adjustments. In this case, two of my fingers were a bit long, so I can shorten the curves and snip off the excess. Before you turn the gloves inside out, to help with the flexibility, you can snip in between the fingers just a little bit. Don't cut too close to the seam line. Turn the glove inside out and you're done. You can hem the edge however you like, but now your costume is ready for fun and photos.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed that tutorial. See, it was the very easy, silly, but foolproof method because it will always work 100% of the time.
And it's very rare to find a cosplay technique that works 100% of the time.
Especially when it comes to gloves, because if you look at for traditional glove patterns, especially my first couple years of cosplaying, even now they still intimidate me. I've made them the traditional way, but you're like, wait, you got to cut this way and you got to do the gusset. Oh man, I got to cut my thumb out like this. It is nerve-wracking and annoying. Yes, you'll make amazing gloves after about 20 hours of yelling at them, whereas this probably would take you 40 minutes tops if you have problems with your sewing machine. Maybe. The tutorial took me maybe 10 minutes to film, so... before editing.
Yeah, it takes you like a little bit longer than the tutorial to actually just do it.
Yeah, but not that much longer, because then you make two of them and hey, you're set for gloves that fit really well and you're still very mobile.
Make sure that when you cut out the patterns that you flip the hand over. Because otherwise you get two gloves for the same hand.
It's fine. It's fine. Just make sure the fabric is facing the right way, both cuts, and you're good.
There you go.
It's that all works. Fine.
Don't make the same mistakes I do. When you flipped the pattern piece like you were supposed to, and then you forgot that you flipped the pattern piece.
Whoops. It's all good.
Just means I have leftover fabric.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right. Well, I believe that that is all for this episode 210 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. As always, if you would like to join in the conversation, let us know what you're working on in cosplay. Let us know if you know of any other glove tutorials that you enjoy. Or, hey, maybe you want to comment on Nick Cage's latest casting opportunity.
Hell yeah. He's got a great casting option right now.
Then feel free to let us know in any of our social media, which you can find here.
In the corner right over there. Funny enough, I have a friend during this quarantine process who is watching every Nick Cage movie every single day and then responding to them on Twitter.
So, yeah. And of course, if you would like to privately let us know about your Nick Cage preferences, keep them family friendly, please, you can always email us podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, we will wish everybody happy cosplaying. Please stay healthy, stay safe. We will see you guys next time at episode 211. Bye, everybody.